Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey! It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's your girl POC. I'm excited to be back on these airways with you guys. I was not here on Sunday, May 10th. Shout out to all the mothers. I'm sorry, Sunday, May, what was that, 15th or 14th? Shout out to all the mothers. I did miss them this past Mother's Day, but I actually went home myself to go see my mom. I haven't seen my mom in a while. I enjoyed her time. I enjoyed her company. I enjoyed the conversations we had as a family. It was just an amazing time to be home. Shout out to my family. I really, really do. I love them. PFG all the way. And once again, Ma, I love you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for giving me this platform. Once again, just happy Mother's Day to you. And we're going to just keep the party going all year. Because it's not just Mother's Day that you are my mom. You bless me each and every day. So once again, shout out to my mom. And all the mothers out there as well. But welcome back to Revive. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go to TuneIn. And log in on TuneIn as well. You can just type in Time for an Awakening. You can hear me, your girl POC, or you can go directly to the website and just type Time for Awakening as well, and you'll hear me, your girl POC, each and every Wednesday, each and every Sunday. Sunday we come on 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and then on Wednesday we come on 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Also, follow the Revive platform. Follow the Revive platform. We're trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter by June 30th. We're trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter by June 30th. So make sure you guys stay tuned. I need you guys to follow the Revive platform, support the Revive platform, spread the word that we are trying to get 1,000 followers by June 30th. Let us go. Let's go. Let's go. And that 1,000 follower, that last person to follow me, just know you're going to get something. Oh, everybody's going to get something. I'm trying to tell you. Everybody's going to get something, but I'm too hype. I need 1,000 followers on Twitter before June 30th. I need this Revive platform to take off ASAP. You hear me? So make sure you guys go click that blue button and follow me at Revive_POC on Twitter. And also you can follow the Revive platform as well on Facebook at Revive_POC. Also, you can join in the conversation anytime today. Call us. Call us. Don't be scared. Call us. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your opinions. Get them out. Express yourself here on Revive at 215-490-9832. Once again, 215-490-9832. You can live tweet us as well. I forgot to mention, you can live tweet us as well. We will read your tweets over the air. Make sure you hashtag Revive always, hashtag the Truth Series. True Heart is in the building with me as well. She's coming on today because we wasn't here on Sunday, so she is going to come on again, and she's going to introduce the Truth Series to us today. Yo, True Heart, what's the topic today?
Hello, everyone. Good evening. This is your girl True Heart here, and I will be coming to you with another segment of the Truth Series. Today's topic is expectations versus reality. So last week we talked about the blame game. Tonight we're going to be talking about expectations.
It's your girl True Heart here. You sound like, I don't know what you sound like, but yeah, True Heart coming on. She gonna bless the mic for us one time. She definitely got some expectations for us. She's going to drop some knowledge on us, so make sure you guys stay tuned. Also, once again, I'm going to pitch this each and every time. If you need Revive in the building, any kind of community service, any kind of community projects, make sure you hit us up at Revive. revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, that is revive.poc@gmail.com. We want to get involved in the community. We want to be involved in any kind of community project that you're doing that we can help. Make sure you hit us up. Trust me, we want to be involved. As well as you need anybody to host your next event, MC your next event, I am here. It's your girl POC. Hit me up. I'm trying to be involved as much as possible. So if you're looking for somebody, I'm the one you're looking for. Look no further. Hit me up at revive.poc@gmail.com. Make sure you guys stay tuned because I'm out here all summer long. All summer 17, as Drake would say. All summer 17. I'm out here all summer 17 trying to make this Revive platform thrive like it's supposed to, because I know it's going to be, because this is my dream and I'm following it, and I know you guys are going to support me, so I appreciate you guys who are already supporting me as well. And also, you can check out our pre-recorded episodes on CBELifestyle.com. Once again, shout out to College Bound Entertainment each and every time for giving us that platform to you know, to showcase, you know, me and True Heart skills, me, True Heart, and Harmony the Goddess. We've been out here doing our thing. We've been out here growing. I'm not going to say grinding because we got into that debate a couple shows ago, but we've been out here growing for a while now. So definitely, if you want to check out some of our pre-recorded episodes, you can do that as well at timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can go to CBELifestyle.com and check out our pre-recorded episodes as well. So once again, shout out to College Bound Entertainment. Make sure you guys go follow them. They have a beautiful summer camp coming out as well this summer called Profit for Passion. So please check that out. Sign your kids up. You won't regret it, I promise. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Once again, today is May 17th, 2017. You know me, before I get started, I'm always going to thank the man above for allowing me to have this platform to speak to you guys each and every time I get on the mic. I really do appreciate it. But I just want to give a huge shout out to everybody in PA who voted in the PA primaries yesterday. I'm going to start with some politics today because I was really going in today on politics with a bunch of my colleagues at work. So I was like, yo, I got to bring this conversation to the Revive platform today. So a huge shout out to everybody who voted in the PA primaries yesterday. I'm not from PA, but I live in PA. So this is, you know, important to me now because this is my home. This is where I live now. So it's like, make sure you guys go out and vote. But a lot of people did not see why it was a necessity that we went out and voted yesterday, because it was a primary election. But people really don't understand how important primary elections really are. Hence the fact that Donald Trump is in the White House right now. Like, come on. Like, we don't want to go backwards. We want to move forward. You know, we're trying to push forward. So we should have learned our lessons from, you know, the November 8th election. We need to vote in our primaries and also to vote in our primaries and also vote in our local elections. Our local elections is where we are. Our local elections is in our everyday lives. The 24 hours that we see is our local environment. So we need to vote these people in. Like, for example, today, I've been calling for the past 2 weeks, honestly, Curtis Jones, my councilman Curtis Jones in the West District of Philadelphia. And I have not gotten any response. They're not doing their job at all. If you are from West Philly, if you're in West Philly right now, you look to the left, you look to the right, it's maybe about 3-4 abandoned homes right next to you. And they're not doing anything to them. They're not boarding the homes. They're not cleaning the homes. They're not making sure that pests are not in the homes. They're just allowing those homes to sit around and rot. But mind you, in Philly, everything is a row house. So everything is connected to the next home. So it's not like, oh, it's just the house, you know, next to you. It's the house next to you and the house next to that one that's being affected by this abandoned home. It's not cool at all. And then you find people who like to live in the homes and you looking like, yo, like, this is my house. I want to walk in my house and be safe. Every time I walk in my house and I got to look to the left like, yo, I just seen somebody walk in there. That house is vacant, but I just seen somebody walk out of there. I just seen 3 cats come from out of there. I just seen somebody throw a huge trash bag on the porch because they didn't get their trash out in a timely fashion. So now they just going to throw the trash bag on the porch. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to get accustomed to this Philly lifestyle. It needs to be changed, honestly. Because Philly, my opinion, I love the city adopted me. Trust me, the city adopted me, and I'm working my way through it. But at the same time, there are a lot of things that Philadelphians do that I just can't get with. I really just can't get with. I really feel like the city does not have like a trash regulation or something, because people just literally, you can walk in the city of Philly and it's just so dirty. I'm not talking about the people, I'm talking about the city. Like, it's just dirty out here. Like, it's really just dirty. I can't say it any other way. I'm really not trying to downplay it, but it's crazy because you have so much just literally just abandoned, just dormant, like nothing is just being done. And this, and they're allowing that to happen. But then when gentrification come, they're taking literally the entire city. But we as people who are living in these urban, you know, these urban neighborhoods, we're not doing anything to make sure that we keep our community in our community. We're not coming together in unity to make sure that we are getting things done. So they can't just come and gentrify the entire community, take our homes from us. You know what I mean? Things like that. But that's where the community comes in. That's where we come into play as individuals to knock on our neighbors' doors and be like, yo, can you clean your front porch? Can you sweep the front of your house? You know what I mean? If we want to get together, you know, we can do it all together and have a block cleanup party. We can do that too. You know what I'm saying? Philly is known for their block parties. Let's have a block party cleanup or something. That's all I'm saying. And then Councilman Curtis Jones, he's just really not doing his job. I called him like three times, literally like three times. Like, hey, I live next to abandoned, and the abandoned is really just killing the entire block. Like, we're all complaining about this one abandoned because we see people going in and out. We see rodents come in and out. We see, you know, pests just literally just mobbing the joint. So we like, what's up? So I'm going to be me. I'm going to reach out because everybody just, you know, everybody just got a lot of mouth. They really not going to do nothing. They're going to talk about it, but there's no actions to it. So I'm going to be the one that's going to jump on it. I'm going to call for the block. Like, yo, are y'all going to come fix this? Are y'all going to at least come clean it up? I understand, you know, we're going through a financial crisis, but you can still come through and clean it up. So they sent an inspector to come through. So an inspector came and he did nothing but put a yellow notice on the door. Like, and he's like, oh, well, someone still owns the home. I'm like, that's cool. But at the same time, this is your third sticker on this door. So all y'all going to do is continue to waste our tax dollars sending you out here, not trying to knock your hustle, not trying to take your job away from us, but you're getting paid for my tax dollars and you're not doing anything but writing up a sticker and putting it on the door. Anyone could have did that. I could have told you, like, yo, send me over a box of yellow stickers and let me write this for you. we could have got that popping like 10 months ago when I first, you know what I'm saying, came in West Philly. But it's just a lot. It's just really just a lot of things that's going around, and we're settling for them. So that's why, to bring back my point, so that's why voting in our local elections, voting in the primary elections are so important, because these are the people who are going to take care of every day, the things that we see every day. These are the people, our judges, our DA, our district attorneys, you know, just these are people who are responsible for things that we see every day. Yes, you know, the Senate and the House and the White House, that's extremely important, but it's going to take time for us to get there. You know, those have to go through checks and balances versus our state local representatives. We can go knock on their door. Our councilmen, we can go knock on their door and say, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? Their office is literally in our district, in our zone. So we can really just go knock on their door. But we have to unify together to make that happen. We have to unify together to make that happen, because at the end of the day, if we don't, we're going to lose our community. And then we're going to see more gentrification going around in our community. And then we can't afford to live somewhere we've been living for the past 10, 20 years of our lives, somewhere we grew up our entire life. And now we walk down that block, it doesn't look like anything we have ever seen before. So it's our responsibility to get that done. But I'm not registered to vote in PA just yet. So I didn't get a chance to vote yesterday, but True Heart did get a chance to vote yesterday. So True Heart, how did it go for you yesterday when you went into, you know, the voting booth or wherever you went? Where did you go to actually vote yesterday?
I went to I think it was a church. I'm not sure if it was a community center, but I definitely think that it was a church. It wasn't too far from my home. But upon going, I felt like such a millennial because I really felt like an uninformed voter. And I feel like the election wasn't really publicized to us. And I don't necessarily want to say it wasn't publicized, because I saw the signs, you know, I saw different things, but it didn't gain a lot of traction like the presidential election did. But the DA is very, very important. When we talk about the criminal justice system, when we talk about criminal justice reform, the DA has a key hand in making those decisions. So if we're tired of our black men and women going to jail for senseless things, then we need to be out and vote. And we need to get out and vote. And I think that it was very disappointing, because a lot of younger people that I talked to had no interest in voting. And one of my coworkers actually stated that, well, I mean, they're all crooks and liars anyway, so what's the point? And a lot of people feel that way. But I felt like it was my civic duty to exercise my right to vote. So I did some research. I called my mentor, who is a master at the family court, and I had to call her because I'm like, I trust her opinion, and she works for the city, and she probably has the inside scoop. And then I talked to my supervisor, I talked to my supervisor's mom, and I just got a lot of older people's opinion, called my grandmom, and I was disappointed in my grandma because, you know, she didn't even vote. I said, Grandma, what do you mean you didn't vote? I'm counting on you to, you know, because senior citizens hold it down. They be at the polls as soon as they open.
They working for them polls.
Working for the polls. They do everything. So I was really disappointed in her. However, I made it happen. I feel like I made an educated vote. I made an educated vote by the time I hit the vote. But I was in the booth for a while. I had my little papers. I was researching. So
you just wasn't pressed to get a sticker?
No, but I really like my sticker, though. Thank you. I really like my sticker.
People really be going just to get the sticker,
yes,
though.
Yes, and then when they run out the English ones, they give you the Spanish ones. So, I mean, it's very, very diverse. But long story short, I made it happen. I voted because people have died for our right to vote. And then I started thinking about Selma, and I'm like, no, I have to go. I have to go. I have to exercise my right. So it counted, and it's just very, very important that we do exercise our right in the local elections because the federal government has a hand in our everyday lives. However, our local government is really, really, really what shapes our everyday life and what we go through in our city.
Agree. And that's why, you know, I wanted to bring this topic up today on the show because I just wanted to reiterate, like, it's really important that we, you know, vote in our local elections and that we vote in the primary elections because, once again, like I said, that's why we have Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is not what we need right now. He's a crook. He's a liar. He's doing everything to prove us right that we need to vote, that we need to get out and vote because 60% of you know who jumped out there and voted and they got exactly what they wanted. And at the end of the day, we are the ones that are losing now. We are losing. And I do understand, you know, we want to know that our vote counts and things like that. But at the same time, we just have to get out and vote. And I agree with you because I have questions myself. I really do have questions myself. But you have to be that vocal. You have to be that one who wants to jump out there to have that, you know, have that conversation to, you know, actually get out there and ask these questions because they do campaign. And during the campaign, that is our time to get out there and voice our opinions. That is our time to get out there and let them know what we actually have on our minds and what we need in our communities. Because if you think about it, candidates pander to a different community. Candidates pander to what they know that the city needs or what the, you know, the township at that, whatever they're running for needs at that time. So that's when you get out there and you go get what you can. You know what I mean? You go get what you can from these candidates because that's that time when they're trying to give you whatever they can to get what they want.
And I think the difficult thing is that we don't hold elected officials to their standards. Like, you were elected for the people. You're supposed to be by the people and serving the people. And you knew what the job description was before you ran. Not unless you just did it, you know, because somebody scratched your back and you owed them a favor. No, but I feel like that's the issue that we have, that we don't hold political officials to their highest standards. And we need to make sure that, you know what, you took this job and you made this happen. So, you know what, I'm going to be blowing up your phone lines. I'm going to be sending you written documentation. I'm going to be expressing my issues because you're elected official. You're going to listen to me. That's what you're paid to do. So I think that's just, sorry, I just really got excited. But I think that's where our downfall is that we just let them, you know, come to community events and wave and speak. And we really need to know what's going on behind those closed doors. And I need you to work for me.
Agree. I hear you. But I'm starting to think like something's really in the water when it comes to politicians because they're out here doing whatever. Like, if you think about it, these people are taking money, cars, jewelry, vacation, covering up for each other, lying under oath. Seth Williams got caught lying under oath. Like, lying under oath, people.
He also got a new roof, too, but he ain't want to talk about that.
Cause that's what I'm saying. Like, they asked him, did you receive anything else? And he said no. And then it came out that, you know, he received funding for his daughter's education. So they're really just out here lying under oath to protect each other. And it's like, how do we know that we can trust them like that? And I think that's where we are as millennials. We're just on some type time. Like, how do we know we can trust these people? At the end of the day, when we put them in office, how do we know that they're going to keep their word? Like, how do we know that they're going to do what they say they're going to do? They're going to be accountable for everything that they said during their campaign. And these are the questions that really go off in my head, especially after the November 8th election, because Donald Trump said so much, but now so many different things are coming out. He said he wouldn't be golfing every day, but he's golfing every day. He said he wouldn't lie to the American people, and he's lying to the American people. He said he wouldn't screw us over, and he's screwing us over. He said he wouldn't leak any intelligence because, you know, they were trying to say Hillary leaked intelligence. But you gave intelligence, classified information, to a Russian. And then you had a meeting, a sit-down meeting with Russians, and no Americans was in the room but you, and you just thought the FBI wasn't going to be listening? And then you're going to go fire the man and think he wasn't going to call you out on it? Oh, you going down, Donald Trump. You're going down, Donald Trump. And I'll be the first one in the line. Like, let my people go. Let him go, for real. Like, let him go and let my people go. All them people he done locked up, all them people he said couldn't come across them borders, let them free. Let them come back in America when it was great before he actually got in office. For real. Donald Trump, it's time for him to go. I wish I had my Maxine Waters on right now because I would be on it right now. He got to go. But to bring it back to Philly before I really get off topic is so the candidate who won, because the one race that I was really paying attention to was the DA race, the district attorney race for Philadelphia, because of what happened with Seth Williams and everything that he did. And it's like, yo, you were the first African-American male as the district attorney. And then we had another African-American male running as well. But he didn't win. So I'd rather not say his name. But the thing about it is, someone who won is still, you know, someone we can get with. In my opinion, I can get with him. His name is Larry Krasner. Actually, his first name is Lawrence Krasner, but they call him Larry Krasner. He won the Democratic seat for the race for the next prosecutor, the DA, to become a DA prosecutor. He was a prosecutor. He's running to be the district of attorney of the city of Philadelphia. He is a civil rights lawyer who has defended many Black Lives Matter, the movement, and the people who's in the movement, who got, you know, arrested during different protests and things like that. So he was like their lawyer during that time. So that's how he got a lot of people in Philly together, or, you know, on his back, such as Asa Khalif and things like that, because of what he did for the Black Lives Matter movement. So it's a lot of things that he has done that I'm now doing my research on, that I could, like, oh, okay, you know what I mean? I don't have too many eyebrows raised for him. So, you know, I just want to see what he's doing. And I do think that Philly is a Democratic city, so I do believe hands down he's going to win. But I just hope when he does win, he continues to do the right thing and, you know, and just see what the city has to offer and actually give back into the city and not take from the city. Because I'm learning, since I've been here, most elected officials, once you're in Philadelphia, you say you're going to do so much for the city, but you end up taking so much from the city, selling the city out in so many different ways, such as the NFL draft. Mayor Kenney allowed them to come in here and make over $80 million, and not one brown penny went to the city of Philadelphia. The DNC, Mayor Kenney allowed them to come in here and not one brown penny went to the city of Philadelphia. So there's a lot of things that need to, you know, be reconstructed, be reconfigured. But at the same time, I think that he's the best candidate for the job, especially who he's going against now, the Republican candidate that he's going against now. But we do have the Truth Series coming up as well. I'm sorry I was on my political rant, but I did just want to bring that up because, you know, yesterday was a big day for the state of Pennsylvania and definitely a big day for the city of Philadelphia. So, you know, I just wanted to bring that to the forefront and just let you guys know what's going on out here. Vote. Just get out and vote. It's very, very important that we get out and vote and just be active and vote, as True Heart said. Just be active and vote. But we do have the Truth Series coming up. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after that, you will hear True Heart expectations. That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about some expectations. So let's see what she has for us. Definitely stay tuned. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Let me tell you who to blame. Blame the boy lying at your feet, his body oozing life through the hole in his stomach where the bullet tore him apart. Blame him for challenging you, for not looking away and for not backing down when you pulled out the gun. Blame your mother for bringing you into this world when she was but a kid herself and for dragging you up, not bringing you up. Blame society for not giving you hope. Blame your father for not being there, the man who looked after himself instead of looking after you. Blame the gun in your hand for making you a target, for making you more likely to be picked on. Blame the dead boy, blame your mother, blame society, blame your father, blame the gun. Blame anyone but yourself for not being strong enough to put down the gun, to break the cycle.
It's an old superstition. Kissing a donkey relieves a toothache.
Ee-oh.
Well, how about this one? For aching teeth, run 3 times around the church without thinking of a fox. Sound silly? Well, that's what people used to believe. Luckily today, they don't lean on fallacies about dental health. Instead, they've learned the facts. Where some folks used to think of going to a dentist only when they had a toothache, today, they go for regularly scheduled examinations because they know their dentist is a specialist, concerned not only with teeth, but with bone structure, muscles, soft tissues. He can prevent or treat problems which start in the mouth and may affect the entire body. Yes, fallacies about dental health have given way to facts, and it's a good thing for you and your family because a healthy mouth means a happier life.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC, live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can just download the TuneIn app and search Time for an Awakening, or go directly to the TuneIn website and just search Time for an Awakening. It's your girl POC. Up next, we do have True Heart coming on with the True Series. But before we start the True Series, I do want to just reiterate what today's show is entitled. Today's show is entitled The Spit Up, because we want to bring back the weekly thrills here on Revive. Today's weekly thrill isn't called The Spit Up. Once again, today's weekly thrill is entitled The Spit Up. We want you guys to come on. This is a time where we're allowing you guys to have a platform for startup businesses, organizations, and to be an innovator. Just come on and tell us, you know, what you do and how you have innovated the game in so many different ways. If you're an artist, to promote your brand, your product, your service, whatever you may do, this is a perfect opportunity for you to promote your business and tap into the listening audience. We definitely want you on the show. We don't want you to miss this show. So if you are an entrepreneur out there and you want to be a part of the Revive platform, just hit us up at revive.poc@gmail.com. Once again, this weekly thrill is entitled The Spit Up. This is The Spit Up. We have two dope entrepreneurs coming on today, Halima Diavera, and we also have Gabrielle Payne. They're going to come on and talk about what they do and how they became full-time entrepreneurs themselves, how they're out here grinding and growing each and every day to make sure that their dreams come true as they're living in their dreams each and every day. And both of these young women, I respect wholeheartedly because of the work and effort that they do each and every day for themselves, for their business, and the community around them. So definitely stay tuned, because I know for a fact they're going to drop some gems and some knowledge on us as well. But we do have True Heart coming up with the Truth Series. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready?
The truth.
Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the truth? It's the Truth Series.
Good evening and welcome to the Truth Series. This is your girl, True Heart, coming to you with another segment of the Truth Series. I hope everyone is having a phenomenal winning Wednesday, and we're going to jump right into it. Keep in mind that the True Series is brought to you by Higher Level Communication, which you can find all of your daily inspirational posts, communication tips, and personal development coaching. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication, and on Twitter, it's Higher Level Com, that's C-O-M-M, Higher Level Com. Be sure to follow us. Tomorrow, I'll be releasing a social media challenge on Instagram. I am trying to get to 500 followers by June 30th. So POC has her challenge, and I'm going to have mine. Once again, guys, you do not want to miss what's popping off on social media. You want to be in the know. So be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Let's jump right into the Truth Series. So today's Truth Series is entitled Expectations versus Reality. And I thought about this topic because sometimes, myself included, I confuse expectations with reality. I really learned over the past 2 years a lot about expectations. And when I say a lot, it's been a whirlwind. But over this past week, when I say it was just jam-packed and I had to have conversations with self about expectations, I said, no, I have to bring it to the True Series platform. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Just like I said before, expectations are oftentimes confused with reality because sometimes we want our reality to match our expectations. And then when that's not really done, we're over here looking at ourselves like, where did I go wrong? I used to tell myself that expectations lead to disappointment. Don't expect too much because then people will have the opportunity to let you down. Don't do too much because then people are going to have the opportunity to disappoint you. But years later, as I've continued to learn and I continue to grow and I continue to experience more, I realized that it's okay to expect things from people. It's the basis of human relationships. So we're going to get personal a little bit. But I've learned a lot about myself, guess what, y'all, through situationships. And it's weird because y'all like, why are you in a situationship? Girl, this whole nother topic for off air. But for instance, out of somebody that you're talking to or you're serious with, you expect a relationship.
But the person may just not be ready to take that leap and may not be ready for a relationship. Or out of a friend, you think you meet somebody and y'all just hit it off. You're questioning, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? You're the best friend I ever had. And then they turn around and it's like, wait, you did some unfriendly things. That's not cool. I expected so much more of you. And then that's when the disappointment comes. And what I've learned is that you have to meet people where they are. I'll repeat that again. You have to meet people where they are. You can't rush into things. You can't rush into a relationship. You can't rush into, oh my God, I met you yesterday and you're my best friend forever and we're just going to be, you know, friends for life. Because you have to fill people out. You have to get to know people. You have to see people in different circumstances to actually know how they react and how they respond and how they deal with it. And one thing I learned, especially over this past week, is that you can't settle. You can't just continue to go with the punches and say, that's okay. What I've learned is do not, for any circumstances, lower your expectations or standards just to say, oh yeah, I'm friends with this person. Oh yeah, I'm in a relationship with this person. Oh yeah, I work there. No. Be firm and stand firm in who you are, what you know, and what you expect. And also, one thing I've learned is that you accept what you allow. And to break it down, if someone, for example, is mistreating you, talking to you any kind of way, doing all these different things, and making excuses for why they do it, but you don't necessarily speak up for yourself, and you didn't speak up for yourself for the first time, the person is going to look at you like you're crazy when you speak up the 1,000th time. Don't get me wrong. You always have to speak up for yourself. However, in that circumstance, you can't continue to allow things and then put your foot down. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, life has some paralyzing situations where it's like, oh man, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. But you always have that sixth sense. You always have to trust your gut. And in that, I had the realization that sometimes we have that realization like, wow, my expectation isn't matching my reality right now. And what I expected isn't what's coming to fruition. And what I've learned, guys, is that you have to pick up the pieces from things that reality may not necessarily match your expectations, and that's okay. It's okay. However, with your expectations and your standards should not waver. A major, major, major key. DJ Khaled always talks about the major keys to success. But the major key is self-love. When you love yourself, you're not going to just settle for anything. You're not going to settle just for no BS. You're going to say, no, I love myself too much to stay around when you're not really even giving me that much. And sure, you want to make sure that your expectations of yourself and other people and other circumstances are realistic. You want to make sure that you have realistic expectations. However, don't settle. And if a person ever tries to make you feel like you're doing too much, maybe they're just not doing enough. And maybe a conversation needs to be had. So to that person that you're in a situationship, or to that friend that didn't necessarily do some, did some unfriendly like things, maybe a conversation needs to be had because I had high expectations for you and you let me down. I'm not going to dwell on it. On Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, I talked about this past week, where it says you have to go through some things to learn some things. And the other day, I said refresh, reclaim, and rebuild. And this was honestly leading up to the expectations versus reality truth series. When you have to refresh your mind, what you think you become, so you want to make sure that all of your thoughts are positive. And once you refresh your mind, you reclaim your power. Life knocks you down. Life is going to hit you with a 1-2 punch, like I said before. But you have to make sure that you keep pushing. you keep the end goal in mind, and you stay steadfast, then rebuild. Start rebuilding. If it's a new relationship, if it's a new friendship, if it's a new goal, if it's a new dream, if it's a new lifestyle, whatever you're trying to do, you have the power to do. Refresh, reclaim, and rebuild, and go for it. Don't let anybody, or anything get in your way. And life does get a little crazy sometimes. Don't get me wrong. Nobody's exempt from a 1-2-3 punch from life. However, it's all about how you respond. I really came here, guys, to tell you tonight, there's nothing wrong with expectations. If you would have told me 2 years ago, like, oh, it's okay to expect things, I'd be like, no, I'm going to just get my feelings hurt. No, I'm going to just get my feelings hurt. No, I'm just going to leave the disappointment. It's okay to expect things. You can expect things from your friends. You can expect things from a significant other. You can expect things from a job. And when they don't necessarily follow through like the way you want it to, especially if you kept your expectations realistic, it's okay to have a conversation. But make sure that self-love is key, guys, and that you set goals for yourself, and that you make sure that whatever is going on, that you stay on the same page and always keep the main thing the main thing. So this upcoming week, I encourage you all to create realistic expectations for yourself and everyone else in your life. Whether it be your job, whether it be your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your friends, just in general, have expectations and do not settle or lower them for anyone. Expect greatness and greatness will happen. This is your girl True Heart with another True Series. Hopefully someone got something out of what I said today. Be sure to follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication. And Twitter is Higher Level Com. That's Higher Level COMM. And if anybody wants to personally contact me, you can shoot me an email at Higher Level Communication CO@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from all of you, and I'll be back with another True Series on Sunday. Have a happy Winning Wednesday, everyone. Peace.
I agree with you on that one, because each and every time I get on this mic, I feel like people are expecting me, you know what I mean, to drop some knowledge. I feel like people are expecting me to come with a award-winning show each and every Wednesday, as you just said. So I definitely agree when it comes to expectation, especially when you said self-love is the key. You can't do anything if you don't love yourself. You know what I mean? You can't go out here and show other people love if you don't love yourself, because it's honestly not genuine. It's not organic. Because the first person you love every day you look up, every day you wake up, the first person you see is yourself. So how can you not see yourself and not love yourself? So I definitely agree with you on that point. Self-love is key. But thank you for that Truth Series today. I really do appreciate it. You will be back on Sunday dropping some more knowledge for us. So I do appreciate you, True Heart, coming into the Revive platform each and every time and giving us, you know, a dose of you. You know what I mean? Because I feel it every time you come on the mic and drop something for us. But we do have our next guest coming up as well, so we are going to go to a quick commercial break. Once we get back, our first guest will come onto the Revive platform. Once again, her name is Halima Dina Vera, so make sure you guys stay tuned. She is going to drop some knowledge, and she's just going to express to us exactly what she did and how she became a full-time entrepreneur as well. Her story is amazing, so definitely stay tuned. She also has something coming up as well that she's going to invite us all to, and I hope we all come to it as well. If you're definitely in the Philadelphia area, what she's about to drop for us and showcase for us is definitely going to be something you want to join. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
teens now spend more than 7.5 hours a day in front of a screen? Wow, that's a long time.
More and more people are getting attached to technology and are therefore not getting enough exercise. This act can lead to a growth in obesity. That is why it is important to go outside and get some exercise. Exercise controls weight and also reduces depression and anxiety. Do some form of exercise at least 3 times a week. Teens who exercise are 36% less likely to develop brain tumors. Take a stand against obesity and exercise every few days. This will help in the long run and will lead you to a happier...
Welcome back to the Revive platform. It's your girl, POC. And like True Heart just said before we went to commercial break, we do have a challenge here on Revive. We are trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter before June 30th. Once again, we are trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter before June 30th. So make sure you guys go push that blue button and follow us at Revive_POC on Twitter right now. Spread the word. Tell your friends. Tell everybody to follow us. Trust me, you're going to get a lot of information. You're going to get a lot of community news. Some politics as well. You know, I'm a politic buff, so you definitely gonna get some politics. I might even slide in some sports every now and then. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Go push that blue button and follow Revive once again at Revive_POC on Twitter and Facebook. But on Twitter, I am trying to get to 1,000 followers. Twitter is my thing. I love Twitter. I get on Twitter every morning and I go on my Twitter rant. So if you want to read my Twitter rants, follow me at Revive_POC. But we do have our first guest coming up on the Revive platform. Yo, True Heart, who's coming onto the Revive platform today?
Tonight, we have Halima A. De Oliveira. She is the CEO of BUNHD. She is an inspirational speaker, coach, author, and a philanthropist. Her vision is to transform and teach 1 million people over the next 365 days how to live bold, unapologetic, and purposeful lives through intense, interactive workshops, webinars, and one-on-one coaching sessions. Halima, welcome to Revive.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Awesome, Halima. I'm excited to have you on the show today. I've been wanting to have you on the show for a very long time. So thank you once again for coming on to the Revive show.
Thank you.
Can you go ahead and tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So you may be able to hear my accent. I'm a girl from New York City, and I grew up in New York City, and I moved to Philadelphia quite some time ago. I've been living here for a while, so this is truly home, Philly. And do you want to know the reason why I started, or just something about myself? Two children, my son is currently in college, and my daughter, she's getting ready to enter the fifth grade. So I have a little bit of an age gap between the two of them. And I'm just living life just in HD. So if there's anything else you want to know, you can ask me a question. I'll be happy to answer.
Why are you living life in HD? What does that mean?
I'm living life in HD because I lived life not in HD. And I remember watching this movie. I believe it stars Halle Berry, Their Eyes Were Watching God. And one of the lines in it said, get busy living or get busy dying. And it was after I watched that movie that, I just said to myself that I didn't want to get busy dying. I wanted to get busy living. And that's where the whole concept and the whole life change came with just living in HD. And living in HD is not only about, me speaking. It's about what I put in my body. It's the food that I eat. It's the people that I interact with. It's just everything about my life is just in HD. It's just in high definition, just bold, over the top, and, going from one day to the next. If I didn't do well today, I dust myself off and I give it everything I've got the next day. And the only person that I'm trying to be better than is the person that I was yesterday. And I truly live that every day. I'm not in a competition with anyone but myself.
I love it. I love it. HD. How can I adopt that lifestyle? Only my God, come sit at the table with you.
Hey, you just got to hang around like-minded people.
I agree with you on that one. I definitely agree with you on that one. But today we're here to talk about your business venture as well as the event you're hosting next week too. So if you can go ahead and tell the people what you actually do. What's the name of your business?
Sure. So the name of my business is BUNHD. And the HD, as I just mentioned, stands for high definition, but it's also a play on my name as well. So HD is also my initials. And that's how it kind of came about. I was like, HD, those are my initials. All right, HD. I want them to be themselves. Okay, so be you in HD. And I was actually at the beach with my daughter last summer, and that's where the name came from. So we were just playing around with words in the sand. And as we started writing words, the water started coming up and erasing it. So we didn't like something, the water erased it. And then when we got to BUNHD, I looked at it and I said, you know what, that's it. And then the water washed it away, and that's where BUNHD came from. And the reason why I started BUNHD, I don't believe people start anything except out of something, a need, a selfish reason, a need that is seen in for themselves. And I just felt like I wasn't living up to my potential. I felt like I was living life at probably like 50%, and I had more to give. And a lot of times what we do is we allow what other people's expectations of us to kind of diminish what our own expectations of ourselves are. Like me, I just feel like I have love and I have light to give people, and that I should be allowed to do that. I should be able to do that. And there are going to be certain people that are going to embrace it, and just certain people that are just not ready. They're either not ready, or I am just not the person that is meant to show that to them. But I feel like when you allow your light to shine, that it gives other people unconscious permission to do the same. So I'm just on this mission just to spread love and light. That's truly the basis of BUNHD. And along the way, I get to support some pretty amazing causes, some of which are close to my heart, and some of which I feel I recognize a pain point in our community and just in our world, and I'm going to tackle them one at a time.
Awesome. So what does BUNHD actually do? What do you actually do for the people?
Sure. So BUNHD is a transformational coaching company. So basically what that means is we take you from, I was not living in HD. So we take you where you are, we take you as you are right now, and then we start to pluck away at what it is that you want to do, where it is that you want to go. And then we start to give you action steps along the way for you to be able to accomplish what those things are. I'll give you a perfect example. I'm working with a company right now, and she has a bracelet line, and her bracelet line, supports different causes. So she just supports multiple sclerosis. She does all different types of causes. But she was at a loss as to what her message was, et cetera. So you know what your message is, but because the world kind of bogs you down, you stop listening to your own voice. So we help you to build up your voice. We help you to build up your message. And then we help you to be able to put it forth to the world. So I help women who are probably in 9-to-5, some maybe stay-at-home moms. I help them to enter into the world of entrepreneurship. And I just help them enter into a lifestyle and a life that is their actual life, their most authentic life. So that's what BUNHD does. So we offer those business coaching, we offer life coaching, and we also just offer inspiration to people through our workshops, through our webinars, and of course, our one-on-one sessions. That's what BUNHD does.
Awesome. So how does one, so let's say if someone wants to be a part of that, how does one now become part of that? How does one reach out to you?
So there are quite a few ways to reach out to me. I'm pretty heavy on social media. Instagram is probably my biggest avenue as far that I use to communicate with my clients and communicate with my followers. And you can find me at BUNHD on Instagram. If you would like to visit my website and see what I have upcoming and see some of the past things that I've done, you can visit www.bunhd.com. And I'm going to spell all of that out for you because some people would like to put that U as the letter U, and it's not like that. It's B as in boy, E as in Edward, Y as in yellow, O as in Oliver, U as in umbrella, I as in igloo, N as in Nancy, HD.com. And you can go visit my website. And if you want to talk to me, you can just email me, and it's really easy. It's halimah@bunhd.com. That's halimah@bunhd.com.
Awesome. So another question I have for you is, why did you want to pursue entrepreneurship? What made you want to become a full-time entrepreneur?
So this is not my first go at entrepreneurship. I actually owned a cleaning business from 2005 till about 2012 or so. And it was just a cleaning business. And I just feel like there is something freeing about being able to own your business. And even when I was, when I had my cleaning business, I was still doing the same thing that I am doing right now. Everything that I did was a labor of love, and I left people feeling better than what they felt when I came, even through the cleaning business. So with this business here, I'm able to actually get down to the nitty gritty and just do exactly what it is that I want to do. And that's just spread love and light. And there's a big freedom in being able to do things the way that you want to do them. I've worked for Fortune 500 companies, three of them to be exact. And, you know, there's just certain guidelines that you have to follow. You may want to give a person a discount on something, or you may want to do something extra for a person. And if it's not in the policy or procedures, you can't do it. Well, I own BUNHD, and if I want to give away something for free, or I want to go out and I want to volunteer somewhere and I want to volunteer for 40,000 hours, I can, because I own my schedule and I'm able to do what it is that I feel that the client or the community needs.
I feel that. Every time I have a conversation with you, I always feel your passion. So I feel that when you say that. But what are some of the biggest challenges that, you know, because you said this is not your first time, your first go around. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you face, you know, becoming a startup, becoming an entrepreneur and things like that? What are some of the biggest challenges you may face?
Well, the biggest pain point for any entrepreneur is money, and not just money, just resources in general. So a lot of times what you run into is so the reasons why businesses fail is because they either run out of money or they run out of other resources. So those are probably the biggest challenge. I mean, the biggest challenge right now is I want to do a lot of nonprofit things. I want to do a lot of things that I don't want the client to have to pay for. I want to just be able to give the service, but I have a mortgage to pay, and you know, I have things, you know, responsibilities that I have to you know, take care of. So the biggest thing for me right now or just any new entrepreneur is probably money. One thing that you run into too is resources, and what I mean by resources is when you start up a company, if you don't have the money to be able to pay employees, being able to find quality people that are willing to help you. And those are probably the two biggest challenges that I'm facing, and I think companies face in the beginning.
Okay, so what would you say to, you know, someone coming behind you? What would you say to that next young entrepreneur? And what advice would you give to them when it comes to starting a new business?
I would say to have at least 6 months of what your expenses are for your business, and also 6 months of your personal, expenses already saved up. I would say that would help you out a lot. I would also say just from the beginning to have a good 3 to 5 people that you can go to that are willing to volunteer to help you in whatever capacity of your business. So just having those people on standby.
So just having somebody on standby to, you know, to have your back whenever you need somebody there for you.
Yes.
And would you say that's something that is a necessity starting out, or is that something you get gradually going into as you're growing your business?
I would say it's twofold. So I would say that so the people that you start out with may not be the people that end up in the middle, the end, you know, they may not continue on with you, but you definitely need to have a core group of people from the beginning that are willing to help you. And I'll just give you an example. Like, you know, for me, when I'm doing my events, I'm the marketer, I'm I have the tickets, I'm in charge of the tickets, I'm in charge of printing things out, I'm in charge in going online and see how many people have registered, okay, how many more people do we need? So I am wearing all of the hats. So, now I'm on my third event now, so it's a little bit easier. I've come across more people that are willing to help. I have more volunteers, et cetera. My first event, I was plugging up my presentation. I was plugging up the music. I was fixing the table. I was helping the vendors. I was everywhere. And then I had to go on and speak. So, as you go, you learn that you can't wear all of those hats. You can't have all of those roles going on at the same time and be truly effective in each one of those roles.
I agree with you on that, because I wear a lot of hats myself trying to get this show, you know, together each and every Wednesday. So I definitely agree with you on that one. But I do want to jump into your event. So what are you actually doing? What's your event about next week?
Okay, so this is the second time that I'm hosting this event. It's called Not Without My Hijab 2. And this is the second time that I'm having it in Philadelphia. So it's this Saturday, May 20th from 12 to 3. At the Foundation, which is located at 3848 Lancaster Avenue in Philadelphia. And what Not Without My Hijab 2, some people are put off by the name, but the name is just saying that this event is meant to empower a hijabi woman. But this event is actually open to hijabis and non-hijabis. And for someone who doesn't know what a hijabi or hijab is hijab is the covering or the headscarf that a Muslim woman wears. And we endearingly call each other hijabi. So that's what that means. But in my workshop, the things that we go over is that hijab is not just something that a Muslim woman wears. Any woman who has a relationship with God, whether she's Christian, whether she's Jewish, just about any religion that is God-based, the woman wears a hijab, whether she physically wears a veil or a scarf on her head, or she simply wears a hat. Or, you know, some women wear like a doily, whatever she wears on her head, or if she wears nothing at all, there is a covering, and that covering is called hijab. So it's basically showing more of what we have that's the same versus what we have that's different, and just allowing us to empower one another and also embrace things that are different. And what my goal with this workshop is to open up people's eyes to other cultures, so that not only can they understand me as a hijabi or as a Muslim, but I in turn can understand them. You know, I studied, Christianity and I studied Buddhism. So I have a glazed understanding of those religions, but I can only really talk to you about how it is to be Muslim because I live that every day. So it's interesting when I come across women, and this whole journey of the Not Without My Hijab workshop is that I come across women and we have in-depth conversations, not about what's different. We have in-depth conversations about what's the same. And then at the end of it, we open up this conversation. Well, how can I help you? And then I in turn say, well, how can I help you? So I'm just loving this whole journey of the Not Without My Hijab workshop, and I'm enjoying traveling the country. I believe I'm on my fifth or sixth state just in visiting and talking about the Not Without My Hijab workshop.
Awesome. So when it comes to that, I love what you're doing, actually, because you're jumping into a market that not many people are in, and some people are, you know, intimidated about because of, you know, when it ties into religion and things like that. So do you think that, you know, your religion or your faith or your belief ever, you know, hinders you in the business aspect?
So I will tell you that's another reason for starting my business as well. So in corporate America, I'm sure you can imagine, you know, when you walk into a room and you're wearing a hijab, people are taken aback sometimes. And I was just on a recent radio show probably about 3 weeks ago. And that was one of the questions that was posed, like, how was it for me in corporate America? And before I can win them over with my personality, I have to break down the barrier that people sometimes put up because they're trying to get over the fact that I'm wearing a hijab. You know, of course, when you see my name, you're like, that might be, you know, an Arab name. But then when you see me and my hijab is so pronounced, you know, people take a step back and they're almost watching me and waiting for me to, you know, how am I going to approach them? Am I approachable or am I not approachable? So my goal is to just show that I am approachable, just as most hijabis are approachable. You know, and I say this to hijabis myself, is that you've got to bring that wall down, because you put that wall up to defend yourself because people are attacking you. But in the climate that we're in right now today, I think that more people want to know about, you know, what the positive things. They seem so much negative about us. They're like, wait a minute, this can't all be true. And they want to be able to come to us and ask these questions. But if we have a barrier up, they're not able to ask those questions. So my goal is twofold. My goal is not only to impact those who are not hijabis, but it's also to impact my own community and just let them know, hey, you can take that wall down. You know, we have to be open in order for us to be able to receive good. We have to be open to receive it.
And to piggyback off what you were saying, Halima, you're like an amazing person. I can vouch for that myself. The first time I ever met you was at a KOGA meeting, and you were getting a check from Neo from, you know, whatever kind of work that you did for him for your business.
Aww.
And the speech that you made just, you know, resonated with me so much that I just had to come up and speak to you and give you a hug. And from there, you know, that's when we traded Aww. Business cards and things like that. So yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, so that the hijab is, you know, it's not something that anyone should be scared of, not someone anyone should be afraid of. So definitely, once you open your mouth, they don't even know, you know, they don't even know who they came up against. So I definitely love you, and I love what you're doing. Definitely, I
thank you.
I give you all praise, because like I said, what you're doing, it takes so much courage and ambition to just jump out there and say, hey, I'm going to be myself no matter what. And you guys are going to love me for me. And I see that in every event and every time you open your mouth and every speech that you give, that, you know, you're giving your all and you're giving your 100% of authenticity of yourself. So I appreciate that. But before you do,
before you do
leave the Revive platform today, I would love for you to give back your social medias as well as the address, the time, and the date of when your event is next week.
You got it. So the event is this Saturday, May 20th from 12 to 3. It's called Not Without My Hijab 2, and we'll be at the Foundation, 3848 Lancaster Avenue. You can purchase your tickets at bit.ly/ Not Without My Hijab 2. They're only $25. And I can be reached at www.bunhd.com. And if you would like to personally email me, you can email me at halima@bunhd.com. And all my social media is at BUNHD. Hope to see you guys soon.
Awesome. Thank you once again, Halima, for coming onto the Revive platform. We just tweeted out your flyer as well. So that is definitely on our social media pages. So people who's following us will definitely get that information. And once again, I just want to say thank you for supporting.
Thank you so much. Have a great show.
Thank you. Yeah, so that was just Halima who came onto the Revive platform. She's amazing, amazing, amazing person. So definitely go check her out. If you are in the Philadelphia area, definitely go support her platform and everything that she's doing for our communities. It's just an amazing thing, and that's what we're trying to do here in Revive. We're trying to give entrepreneurs a platform to come on and showcase their talent through the spit up, through different conversation. You know what I mean? Once we start to open our mouths, you never know what's going to happen. Networking is the key. You know what I mean? Making your net worth, just networking and making it your net worth is extremely exciting. And I do it each and every day. I do it each and every day. Me and True Heart, we go out to these networking events and we showcase our talent. We tell them what we do. And next you know, we have 20 business cards as we're walking out and we just met 20 different people. And we're all doing something different, whether it's the same or different, however it may be. But at the same time, just to see people who want to be in the same space, who have that like mind, like Halima said, just the like mind like you, just having a like mind and just being able to hold a conversation about following your dreams is important, is very important today. But up next, we do have our next guest, who is Gabrielle Payne. Just make sure you guys stay tuned. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. Once again, today's show is entitled The Spit Up. Check out the Revive timeline on Twitter right now. We did go ahead and post Halima's event. If you do want to participate, go definitely hit her up. I'm sure they got some tickets left for you guys. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Oh my goodness, the craziness happening here in D.C. Oh, talk about fever in the funk house. During the break, Bill Bellamy said that these stories keep coming in waves, just one after another after another. Now we have the New York Times reporting that former FBI Director James Comey was asked by Trump to stop the investigation into Mike Flynn. This took place on Valentine's Day. Such a sweetheart. Such a sweetheart. And speaking of a sweetheart, Donald Trump's favorite member of Congress, California Congresswoman, also known as Auntie Maxine Waters. Congresswoman Waters, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Hi, everybody.
Well, you made a comment where you said we got to get his ass. Looks like he might be doing it to himself by running his mouth.
Yeah, well, I also said a long time ago he was going to lead us. Right to impeachment. And, of course, I've always believed that he was involved in collusion. I mean, if you just look at the man's character and the way that he defined himself during the campaign, the way he treated people, the way he was taking a play right out of Putin's playbook, I don't know why people thought that he was going to be able to keep up this kind of behavior as the president of the United States and to not catch up with him. So I've been on this path for quite some time. I introduced a resolution back in February to investigate collusion. And so we see these events unfolding every day, and it's mounting up to inevitable impeachment. And I just know that, you know, this country is reeling from the daily unveiling of all of these potential scandals and information. I'm trying to find out now whether or not he's canceling this trip that he was supposed to go on
this week
to Saudi Arabia and Israel. Has he decided yet?
First of all, no. I tell you what, also, the White House sent out a notice on Monday to several of us television anchors to participate in an off-the-record luncheon with Trump on Thursday. I was unable to attend because I have to give this speech in Florida, and I'm not sure that luncheon will even happen because can you imagine Trump sitting around the table having lunch with about 15 to 17 television anchors asking him about these two stories?
That would be huge.
No. He can't stand that kind of heat. As a matter of fact, finally we're getting some Republicans who are raising their voices. They're not going to be able to stand with him if, in fact, these memos that have been written by Comey are revealed. When they're revealed, we will move more toward determining whether or not he's tried to, there is an obstruction of justice. And so, I mean, we're on the road. Either he's going to retire, resign, or whatever you call it, or be impeached.
Congresswoman, yes. you also, of course, have the issue of Trump revealing sensitive information to Russia that apparently came from Israel. And then, of course, what really jumps out at me is when you have McMaster, of course, the National Security Advisor, who said that Trump was not briefed on the source of the information. Is he not the president?
Well, let me just say this. They don't really know how to manage what they have achieved in terms of getting the White House. This mismanagement is laughable. It's like Keystone Cops over there. I'm not surprised that he had not been briefed. He seems to walk into situations he doesn't know the history of, he doesn't know the individuals, and he just, you know, goes off the cuff and start to talk, say whatever he wants to do, bluff people, you know, lie. This is what he's been accustomed to doing in business. That's why he's rich. He's cheated and everybody and lied to everybody. And so it's not working. It's catching up with him. I'm dying to hear what Comey is going to say in his public testimony about the meetings, not just one, that he's had with Trump, and exactly what has he said.
And again, that's what he wants. He wants to come out in public and give his testimony to the world, not just something behind closed doors with a committee, right?
Absolutely. And everybody wants him to, most people, that is, want to hear from him, want to hear what he's got to say, and he's been very clear. Now, you know, what I don't understand, what I do understand, because I just alluded to it, they didn't know what they were getting into. Can you imagine Michael Flynn feeling so comfortable that he could be talking to the Russians about sanctions? He was head of the DIA at one time. Didn't he know that he was being listened to? I mean, we all know that. Then you have Trump, who thinks that he can call in an FBI director who's known for documenting, who's known for doing memos, who's known for being able to cover his back, and think he can get away with saying to the vice president and to the attorney general, y'all leave the room while I talk to him. Well, come on. I mean, all this stuff comes out in the wash. And so here we are having watched all of this play out. And, of course, you know, most people are saying, where is this going to lead us? Where are we going from here? There's still those who are in denial who are saying, well, we don't know. We don't know what was really said. We don't know where this is going to lead. Well, I can tell you where it's going to lead. Not because I've seen the memos, but because I've lived long enough to know bad character when I see it and what it results in.
And Congresswoman, one thing that people have not talked about, in the same meeting with Comey, Comey writes in this memo that Trump asked him to jail journalists to curtail leaking. Dude, it's your administration that's leaking. It's your faucet.
Yes, and thank God for the media. If it wasn't for the media and these so-called leaks, we wouldn't know very much about what has been said and what has been done. All of the unveiling really comes because the media has been digging, and they found out about Flynn and the telephone call. They're the ones that just unveiled that Israel was the ally that gave us the information that now we have put at risk because of the exposure. I mean, on and on and on. When you take a look, the Congress has not done its job. We have been derelict in our duty, and mostly because the Republicans are in charge, and we don't have charge of the committee. But we're supposed to be a check and balance democracy, where the three agencies of government are balanced by each other and checked by each other. We haven't done our job.
Well, according to this post by Ed O'Keefe on Twitter, CBS This Morning asked 20 GOP lawmakers to be a guest this morning to discuss Trump. All said no. They're running for cover.
Constituents are going to be saying no in their elections if they continue this.
All right.
How quickly do you think the committee could be put together for an investigation to officially begin?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, I think that those Republicans who are frightened, who are afraid, mm-hmm. are going to have to do something. And I think that something may be a council rather than maybe a commission at this point. And I don't know when that could be, but I suspect the next couple of weeks are going to tell us a lot about whether or not these Republicans are going to get the guts to do what they have to do and move toward tying down these investigations so that we can connect the dots in ways that are irrefutable.
A peaceful protest turned deadly. 37-year-old black man was shot and killed by Baton Rouge.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. Welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's your girl POC. Thanks everyone who is still out there supporting and listening to the Revive platform. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive, or you can download the TuneIn app and just search Time for an Awakening, or you can go directly to the website, tune in, and just search Time for an Awakening. You hear me, your girl POC, live every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. But once again, today's show is entitled The Spit Up. We are trying to bring the weekly thrills back here on Revive. Once again, today's weekly thrill is The Spit Up. True Heart all in the studio, all coughing. I'm like, ugh, all on my shoulder. Back up. But yes, once again, today's show is entitled The Spit Up. The purpose of Weekly Thrills is to allow listeners and viewers to interact with each other, you know, just to, on different topics, different daily topics that we can engage each and every day that we come on the Revive platform. We want the listeners and the guests and, you know what I mean, just to be able to engage with each other. We want this to be one big conversation each and every time we get on these airwaves. So make sure you guys stay tuned. Join the conversation today at 215-490-9832, or you can tweet us live at Revive_POC. Or you can hit us up on Facebook as well at Revive_POC. But on Twitter, I am trying to get 1,000 followers by June 30th. Follow me. Follow your girl POC at Revive_POC on Twitter. Make sure you guys stay tuned for the timeline, because my timeline be popping. My timeline be popping. But we do have our next guest coming on as well. Yo, True Art, who's the next guest coming on to the Revive platform?
The next guest that we have is Gabriella Payne. Gabriella Payne is an entrepreneur, international business change agent, and an advocate for women worldwide. Gabriella has transformed her most personal setbacks and disappointments into powerful antidotes for inspiration for adolescents and business professionals alike. Upon entering into college, she was granted the opportunity to study abroad in Ecuador, a moment that she believes to be the groundbreaking moment of her career and her life. She is a graduate from Salisbury University with a bachelor's degree in international business and Spanish. Gabriella now speaks to schools, universities, and women's groups all across the nation on topics surrounding self-love, career success, and confidence building. In addition to public speaking, she owns an event design and planning business, Prim and Planned. Gabriella, welcome to the Revive platform.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Hey, Gabby.
Yes, this is Gabriella. Thank you for having me. Am I on?
You are live on Revive. What's up?
Nothing much, man. How are you guys doing?
Great. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for the listening audience?
Sure thing. So my name is Gabriella. Most people call me Gabby for short. My main purpose is to just speak truth and to lift other women up and help them understand their worth and their purpose and to give them confidence and help them to seek whatever it is they believe that they can do, whatever it is they believe that is possible. I just want to push people towards that and to also show them that it can be done while staying healthy, while staying sane, and while staying happy.
I can dig it. So I'm not going to be too formal. I'm going to call you Gabby if you don't mind. Can I call you Gabby today?
Go right ahead.
So Gabby, so you in the bio you sent us, it was like international business. How does your international business incorporate with what you're actually doing when you're, you know, becoming an entrepreneur?
So the biggest thing that I really learned about my path. So just quick story. So I started out at Salisbury University, as she said, studied abroad, studied Spanish, and I landed a super cool job in Mexico. And I said that I was going to do this in high school. Nobody believed me. People told me, oh, just get a government job, or, oh, just go do this, oh, just go do that. People told me to settle, and I didn't. And I ended up accomplishing my goal. And so that's kind of the background of what pushed me to give other people that message, because I know there's so many negative assumptions that you can't. And so not only can I tell you that it's possible, I can show you that it's possible.
Mm. Awesome. So, and you learned that during, you know, your life of traveling back and forth with international.
Right. So
like that?
I guess the main piece was really me just continuing to apply myself to my studies and continuing to reach out there for opportunities. When I took the opportunity that I have now, I actually was already employed by another company. I already had a job, but I was just determined and I just kept reaching out. So it was mainly the time that it took me to get to the job. Where I learned the most about confidence and just, you know, sticking to your guns and kind of like what the young lady said earlier about knowing what you want and sticking to it. Like, this is what I want and nothing is going to derail me from that.
Awesome. So how does that correlate into entrepreneurship? So you were blessed coming out of college, you know, with two jobs, already accepting one and then someone else giving you another option. So when did you figure out in your life that, hey, I don't want to work for anyone anymore. I want to now become an entrepreneur. When did you figure that out?
So I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit, I believe. When I was in high school, when I graduated, I ended up working as a promoter. So I'm sure we know plenty of people, especially from the Washington, D.C. area, who worked as promoters, but it's really a sales business. And entrepreneurship is all about selling yourself and telling people your value. And so that kind of really rooted that entrepreneurial spirit in me. I then moved on to get my own event planning business, which, of course, came from hosting and planning events at clubs. And so I ended up opening my own event planning business. I had two events this year. One of them was the vision board brunch that I had in January in D.C., and then I went ahead and had another event called Massages and Mimosas in D.C. But more recently, I've gotten a very stronger yearning to really focus on my public speaking, because it's the one that feeds the most to me and others as well.
Yo, Gabby, you know I'm mad, right? Why I ain't get no invitation to the brunch?
You know, blame it on your sister. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm going to blame it on Ted. But next time I want my own invitation.
Me too, Gabby.
Okay. I promise I'll give it to you.
The whole team trying to come next time.
Okay, great. Yes, you all are all invited.
But tell us one risk that you took. Tell us one of the main risks that you took when you first jumped out there to become an entrepreneur.
One risk. So the biggest risk I took was understanding that everybody else is not doing this. And that's something that really was hard for me to understand. Everyone else does not want to better themselves. Most people are happy or satisfied with where they are. And so being lonely was the biggest risk for me in entrepreneurship because, you know, there's companionship in pretty much anything in life. You want to do sports, there's companionship. You even studying abroad, there's companionship. But entrepreneurship is really a very solo thing. And there are times when you'll be by yourself and it'll just be you, and you're going to have to be okay with that. So I would say that was the number one risk I took, was learning to be alone and hustle and just, you know, do what you got to do to get it done.
I agree. You definitely got to do what you got to do to get it done. Hustling is one of the main things that you need to have, you know, in you when you when you become an entrepreneur. You have to have that hustle mentality because people will try to walk all over you. So I definitely agree with you on that one. But so because we are millennials, so would you say that technology made it easier for you to become a full-time entrepreneur, or do you think it's a setback for us millennial entrepreneurs?
I think it's a tool. But I do think for me as an entrepreneur, speaking from my experience, it can be a setback for me. There are times where I have to limit myself and say, look, Instagram is only allowed between these hours of the day. Mm-hmm. And I have to set standards for myself, and I can't spend all day online, and I can't spend all day watching reality TV and things like that. I had to stop doing a lot of the things that I was doing before and be able to focus all of that energy on entrepreneurship. So it can be a tool. You can use it to your advantage, but you also have to watch it and don't let it control you.
Awesome. I agree with you on that because technology is making it really hard to see, you know, the natural, the authenticity about it, because some people really just go in there and they're gravitating off these, you know, people who become social media famous, and they think that everyone now can do that, but they don't know how much hard work and how much dedication, how much ambition it actually took for a person to go up there and get 20,000 likes. People just think they go up there and make a fool out of themselves and think they're going to get 20,000 likes. So I think technology sometimes is a huge setback for us millennial entrepreneurs because it makes the market so crowded. So when it comes to what mm-hmm. you're doing right now, how do you first tell the people what you're doing right now? Because you only talked about, you know, your catering company, your catering business and what you were doing. So how did you separate the two? And I do apologize for saying catering, but how do you separate the two?
As far as
your event planning from like what you're doing now,
distinguishing it.
Yeah. Like how do you separate yourself from the market because it's so crowded?
So a big thing for me is I don't really focus on the market when it comes, like I focus on my competitors that are doing better than me because I watch them and I say, what are they doing well? And then I focus on the market. So who am I talking to? What do they need to hear? What makes me valuable to them? But something my father taught me a very, very long time ago is that if you love something and you work at it, you won't have to do all that. You don't need to work extra hard and be worried about your competition, because sometimes if you focus too much on what's going on beside you, you can't even see what's ahead. And so my main focus is to perfect my craft. And also I believe that people know when you're genuine. People know when you're playing them. People know when you're real. And that can't be replaced. No matter how many likes you have, no matter how many followers you have, if you're not a genuine person, it will get out. You know, you will be exposed. It may take time, but you will be exposed. And, you know, just focusing on other people is never the way that I would tell any entrepreneur to go, because it's just a waste of your time. You need to focus on you. You need to focus on your craft. You need to focus on how well you are at what you do. And that's about it. That's kind of where it cuts dry for me as far as how I differentiate myself. I become the best me I can be. That's it.
I agree. Becoming the best version of yourself, because God only made one of you. You know what I mean? So nobody can do you how you do you. It's just how you present yourself once you're at that table or once you're in the room. Because once you're in the room, it's all up to you. You know what I mean? Because there's so many people out there who want to get in that room. And once you actually open that door and, you know, take a seat at that table or just enter that environment, it's how you carry yourself and what you put to the forefront is what you're going to get out of it. So I do agree with you on that one. But what would you tell the next generation of entrepreneurs? What is one thing or anything that you may say that you will tell the next generation of entrepreneurs?
So the biggest thing that I would tell the next generation of entrepreneurs is to care for yourself. Somehow I believe that in the past we've missed the mark here, not just in my community, but just overall the business world. You know, you have to learn how to balance. You have to be able to spend time with your family. You have to be able to spend time with your loved ones because your business is great. Your passion is great. The money is probably great as well, but nothing can replace your loved ones. Nothing can replace your family. Nothing can help you or save you when you're in bad health because you haven't been treating your body well. And so a big thing that I preach to everyone that I come in contact with is balance. You have to know when to turn off the computer. You have to know that even if your to-do list isn't all the way done today, it can get done tomorrow sometimes. And you have to do that for your own sanity. Because if you're gone crazy by tomorrow, your to-do list still won't get done. And you have to be able to conserve yourself and pace yourself so that every day you wake up, you have new energy and refreshed energy.
Tell them something, Gabby. Tell them something. Balance yourself. Balance is a major key, definitely. So what are you doing now? What kind of entrepreneurship that are you pursuing at this current time?
So right now I'm working on my public speaking venture. I'm actually planning to speak to 100 groups. That's my goal right now, 100 groups. I really need to set a deadline to it. I've been kind of lazy with that, but I've been working on my website and my YouTube channel, which will be released at the beginning of June. So once I get that set up, my goal is to just put the pedal to the metal or the what, however they say it, and get going. Right now, my main focus is definitely women, specifically young women. And I really think even from young women until forever, literally, because just because you're 40 years old does not mean you don't have an immature mindset or you're missing some growth points that are keeping you stuck and unhappy in life.
Yes, and when you said that forever, because we talked about it the other day, and I love that, you know what I mean, women forever, because at the same time, some of us didn't even get a chance to have a youth, you know what I mean? Some of us didn't get a chance to take our time growing up because we had to, you know, take care of our younger sisters, our younger brothers, or we just had to literally be the mom to our actual mom. You know, some of us have that story where they were, you know, the adult to their parents. So I definitely agree with you on that. But why did you pick young women, though? Why do you want to not cater to them, but why do you want to talk to them?
I think the biggest thing in me talking to them is I'm really big about living what you talk. You know, don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. And I have lived, breathed, worked, fought, whatever, as a young woman. And so my experience is more valuable to a young woman than, say, it would be to a young man. Not to say that I cannot bring that young man value, but just to say that if a young woman heard it from me, she knows exactly what I'm talking about. When I say, at moment I was feeling this way, she knows exactly what moment I'm talking about and exactly what feeling I'm talking about. And so the connection and bond is stronger. So when I'm giving advice, she knows that I'm not just blowing hot air, but that I've lived it and I've breathed it and I know what it's like.
So by you saying that, how would you define success? So how would you go out here and explain to them how they can be successful in their everyday life, their 24 hours?
So I heard a video. I listen to motivational videos every single morning, like clockwork. And I heard one morning on a video that success, the definition of success is continually chasing after your goal. So if every morning you wake up and you're looking at that goal and you've done something towards that goal, you're successful. Some of these goals may be, I want a six pack by the summertime. Or it may be, I want to be the next president of the United States. Whatever your goal is, if you are putting something into it, something meaningful, then you're successful right here and right now. Some people think that success is this really far off thing and that it's coming a million years from now and hopefully I'm successful before I die. You have to really redefine success for yourself and realize that every time you put time into your goals, your passions, your dreams, that means that you're successful.
I agree with you on that one. Because following your dreams is an amazing feeling. And once you get to that point where you know, like, my dreams are becoming my reality, I swear it's no going back from there. So I definitely agree with you on that point. But when it comes to what you're actually trying to do next, what is one challenge that you're facing right now to jump over that next hurdle? What is one of the biggest challenges that you're facing right now?
My biggest challenge is my 9-to-5. So the fact that I spend 10 hours away from my dream is my biggest challenge and my biggest hurdle.
Talk to
and
me.
I know you understand completely.
Yes.
But, you know, you're spending the thing about finding your passion and your dream is that going to work for someone else's passion becomes very painful. Mm-hmm. And it gets hard when you get a taste of what it feels like doing what you love to do. And then you have to go back to doing what is okay. You know, it's not the worst thing. You know, working a 9-to-5 is great. You learn tons. But when you know the difference, see, when you don't know, you don't know. And so it's bliss. But when you know, it becomes painful because you know, I could be doing this right now. I could be sending out emails. I could be drafting up proposals. I could be speaking at a school right now. I could be speaking to a women's group right now. You know, that's kind of the biggest hurdle that I'm facing at the moment. And, you know, the biggest thing I do is just take it day by day. I just take it day by day because everyone is going to have their problems in life. Nobody's life is the yellow brick road, okay? No one. No one's life is the yellow brick road. And so with that in mind, you have to realize that as you go on in life, you'll have hurdles. Just say, okay, it's a rough spot day by day. If day by day is too much, minute by minute.
Talk to him, Gabby. Talk to him. I agree with you on that. When you were saying I could be at a school right now, I could be in the community centers right now. I think about that every day at my lunch break. I'm like, yo, it's 2:00 and I'm sitting over here making somebody else rich. This is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to do me. Like, I want to go up there and do what jump into the community and do what I can do best, which is talk, have conversations with different people. But I can't do that because I'm sitting behind a desk in front of a computer for 8 hours out of my 24. So I definitely agree with you on that. So I'm working each and every day, Gabby, so I don't have to worry about that. I'm working each and every day, so I don't have to worry about that one. But before I let you go, though, what is your end goal for the work that you do? What is one of your end goals for the work that you do?
My biggest end goal is to work with young women and develop them so that eventually, this is huge. So this is what I call a stretch goal. Eventually, I want it to be so that I really don't feel a severe need with adult women. Because our issue is that we're trying to chase people's problems instead of addressing them at the root. When you can get young women and you can speak to them before anyone else speaks to them, you can tell them that they're beautiful before anyone tells them that they're ugly. You can tell them that they're worth so much before someone tells them, oh, you know, you just this, you just that. And so my biggest goal is to just eradicate any feelings of worthlessness in the community of women around the world, really, and get us to a point where all we have to do is focus on the root now.
I'm with it, Gabby. I believe in it, and I know you're going to be successful in what you do because of the passion that you have when you speak. And I know every time you step into the room, and I know you're going to talk to these 100 people, I want to give you a deadline. I want you to have a deadline. Gabby, are you going to give us a deadline today here on Revive? Are you going to put it on right here on these airwaves? What's your deadline? Today is May 17th. What's your deadline?
June 30th, 2018.
At that time, you would have talked to 100 different groups.
Yep.
I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to have you back on the platform this year and next year to make sure we keep pushing that to get you to those 100 groups. Are you in a specific area with it, or are you going everywhere across the country? What are you trying to do with that?
I'm everywhere, everywhere. I spend most of my time in Texas because of where I work and everything. And I spend quite a bit of time in the DMV area because that's where I'm from. And so between those two places, that's probably where you'll be able to catch me the easiest. But I'm willing to go anywhere, anywhere.
Fly my man Gabby out. She going to do what she have to do to talk to these kids, talk to the youth, talk to these young African-American women out here to make sure they're on point each and every day they wake up. I know she's going to do the job. She's going to be that person, Gabby. I appreciate you coming onto the platform. But before you go, I do want you to give yourself a shout-out. Tell the people where they can find more information, if you got any websites for them. Also, tell them, drop the knowledge on that book that you told me as well, the book that you're reading after you give yourself a shout-out, so they can pick that book up too.
Okay, cool. So the biggest place to find me right now is on Instagram at Girl Gone Bold. Super simple, Girl Gone Bold. That's my Instagram. And I'm about to launch my website and YouTube channel in June. So you guys caught me at a really good time, because if you follow my Instagram, you'll see all that information come out. And we'll be doing a blog session every week called Ask Gabby. And so I've already got a few great questions. How did you become bilingual? How do strong women learn to submit in relationships? I've gotten a multitude of questions. And so those will be posted on the YouTube channel and on the blog for your viewing pleasure. Now, on to the book. So there's a really, really great book called One Day My Soul Opened Up. One Day My Soul Opened Up. It's by Eyan LaVanzant. This is my second time reading the book, and I told myself the first time I read the book that I would promise to read it at least once a year. It's a 40-day and 40-night collective. So in the morning, you read, you do your affirmations, and then when the day ends, you come back to reflect. I believe I'm on day 14 today, and today was talking about releasing and letting things go and not trying to be in control all the time. Surrender. That was today's principle, surrender. But it's a really, really great book. And I know Tamara is also, she has a calendar book. Which one is that, Tamara?
Yeah, I got the calendar book. It's pretty much a daily inspiration. So you open the book, you know, to even eat whatever day you're on, and she just drops knowledge on you. I follow her on Twitter too. Make sure you guys go follow her on Twitter. She drops knowledge every time. So I love her calendar book as well. And when you told me you were reading that book, I was like, yo, that's why Gabby's the one. That's why you're the one. Because, you know, knowledge is power. And we need to pick up books out here, you know what I mean? Because there's so much in those, you know, those texts, those black and white words that you don't get to see every day until you actually pick that book up. So that's why I wanted you to shout that book out, so somebody who's listening can go pick that up and see why you should be inspired each and every day.
Must read. That is a must read.
Definitely. And Gabby, one more time, I just want to say thank you for coming onto the Revive platform and just showcasing your talent and showing people out there that you can follow your dreams, and your dreams can definitely become your reality. But one more time, we are trying to get your Instagram. Could you give this to us one more time?
So the Instagram is at Girl Gone Bold. No funny spellings, three words all put together. Girl Gone Bold. Like Girl Gone Bad, but we ain't going bad, we going bold.
I'm with it. And then I'm going to have you back in June. Promise me you're coming back in June for your release so you can drop it here on these airways with me.
Yes, yes. Promise, promise.
Definitely. And True RC has something to say to you as well. Hold on.
Thank you, Gabby, for your interview. I'm so, so excited. I'm about to go purchase the book. I already followed you. I am True Heart from Higher Level Communication, so I know we followed each other already, but you are a true inspiration. So I think you're going to get to the 100 groups before June, but just continue doing what you're doing. I wish you nothing but the best and all success.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Awesome, Gabby. Thank you once again for supporting the Revive platform. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you for having me.
So once again, that was Gabriella Payne coming on the Revive platform. Just another young entrepreneur out there doing her thing. She's an amazing person. Make sure you guys go follow her on her social media platform as well, because like she said, she has some dope things coming down the pipeline for you guys, and I don't want you guys to miss this. We are going to go to a very, very small commercial break before we do end the show here today on Revive, so stay tuned. Once again, it's your girl POC. You know what time it is.
Fast food PSA. Fast food, it's everywhere. When you turn on the TV, you see an ad for a Big Mac. You are driving on the freeway and see a sign for the closest Burger King. Like it or not, fast food is all around us. More than two-thirds of the adults in the United States, 219 million people, are obese or overweight, and I have a lot to do with. Soda companies market their food as diet, but how can they be diet if they're just using artificial sweeteners instead of natural sugar? Why do we buy protein bars even though they have the same or more sugar as a candy bar and just more protein? Why do we buy chicken nuggets when in reality they have tons of added salt, MSG, oil, and fillers? These are all good questions, but think before you dive into that layer hamburger. Or chicken nuggets, or any other fast food, junk food. Think about what is actually in it, how the animals you are eating are being treated, and think about how putting this food in your body will affect your health. Every time you eat fast food, you're supporting all these things. Understand what fast food is, and do what you think is good. Think.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC. Proof of consciousness. You know what time it is. And welcome back to the Revive platform today. Before we wrap up this episode of Revive, I just want to thank all the guests who came onto the Revive platform today and just supported the platform, supported the Spit Up. Once again, we are trying to bring weekly thrills back on Revive. Stay tuned. We do have a bunch of weekly thrills that we do want to incorporate into the Revive platform for you guys today. And the first one that we want to incorporate today was the Spit Up. And then also we have Talk That Talk. We have Speaking Into Existence. We have Thinking 100. So just make sure you guys stay tuned, because we're going to bring all these weekly thrills to the Revive platform each and every week to make sure that we stay engaged with our listening audience, as well as staying engaged with our guests who's coming on the show so they can engage with the listening audience as well. These platforms are just, you know, ways to bring us together once again through unity, through the power of communication, because here on Revive, we thrive off communication, and we want to bring back unity with the power of communication. So just make sure you guys stay tuned here on Revive, because that's what we want to do. But before we do once again wrap up the show, I just want to shout out to the class of 2017. Shout out to the class of 2017. I really do appreciate you guys walking across that stage. It was amazing to see. I went to a couple graduations, but mainly my graduation was Cheney University. So shout out to the first HBCU, Cheney University. I was there in the rain with the graduates, rain or shine. So definitely, I just want to say thank you to them for sticking it out, because Cheney thrives off tradition. So that's why we didn't have it indoors. But I just want to say thank you to the class of 2017 for sticking it out. Also, I want to give a huge shout out to the University of, what is it? Let me get it back. The University of Florida Memorial University. Florida Memorial University, they gave Trayvon Martin a degree. They gave them his degree 5 years later after his death. So back in 2012. So I do appreciate that. He got an aeronautical degree and aeronautical of science degree. So dude, shout out to Florida Memorial University for, you know, giving him that degree. I really do appreciate that. That means a lot to me. I'm sure that meant a lot to his family as well. Me and True Heart was like, yo, we got to shout this out. He part of the class 2017. So we definitely wanted to, you know, to bring that up. And also shout out to Bethune-Cookman as well, who booed Betsy DeVos at their commencement, stood up with their fists held high like, no, we don't want to hear nothing you got to say. Also, shout out to TSU for canceling their commencement speaker, because also, how can these people come and talk to these African-American students, these students who attend a HBCU, when at the end of the day, the people who Betsy and I can't even remember what he was doing, but I know he was part of, you know, he was part of the government at this time doing some kind of political stance. He has some kind of reign right now, but they TSU canceled him because the students just wasn't with it. It was petitions going around. It was protests going around on campus because they want these people to come and speak to these students here at the HBCU. But Trump is trying to cut funding to all HBCUs. So how can we respect that? How can we respect the Secretary of Education coming to talk at an HBCU when you want to cut funding to a HBCU? So big shout out to TSU, a huge shout out to Bethune-Cookman and their students for standing up, you know, for what they believe is right, because it actually is right. I'm never going to understand. And then the president had the audacity to get on the mic and say, oh, we can mail your degrees to you. What? I earned this. I paid for this, sir. I'm a customer to your business. College is a business. This is not, you know what I'm saying? You didn't give me anything. You're not giving me anything. That degree that you're handing me as I walk across the stage is paid for with my hard-earned money, the money I'm going to have to pay back for the next 20, 25 years of my life in student loan debt. So let's really talk about it. Who are you threatening? Honestly, who are you threatening? And I hope they take his job from him. Why is he the president again? He not real. He not true. Somebody go take his black. Somebody go take his black card from him really fast, really quick. But once again, this is going to wrap up the Revive episode. But True Heart did have something to say.
And shout out to Howard University. They did the swag surf at their graduation. So that's just a shout out just for the culture.
Definitely. Shout out to the HBCUs in general. Save the HBCUs always. I'm an HBCU grad, so I'm going to advocate for them always. Shout out to HBCUs. Once again, we here on Revive is trying to get 1,000 followers before June 30th. make sure you pay attention to the timeline, because we are trying to get 1,000 followers here on Revive on Twitter. So follow me on Twitter at Revive_POC. You can also hit me up on Facebook at Revive_POC as well. Join in the conversation anytime from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Wednesdays, and also Sundays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 215-490-9832. Also, before we wrap up, Trueheart, go ahead and give yourself a shout out.
Everyone, go follow Higher Level Communication on Instagram and Facebook, and on Twitter, it is Higher Level Com. That's COMM. And if anybody wants to personally contact me, you can email me at higherlevelcommunicationco@gmail.com. Once again, just like POC is trying to get her followers up on Twitter, follow Higher Level Communication on all three platforms, but definitely Instagram. We're around like 230 right now, and it's a special, special prize for that 500 followers. So let's get it, y'all.
I thought you was announcing it tomorrow. You dropping it already? You just gave away your secret.
They heard it here first on Revive.
You right. Shout out to the Revive. Shout out to the Revive platform. You know what time it is, but we are going to let you guys go tonight. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for supporting the Revive platform always. Stay blessed. Stay blessed. Be safe out here. And once again, go vote, people. It's important. Go vote. Thank you for listening to my rant earlier as well when it came to my politics, because I do this politic thing. Somebody want to have a conversation? Let's have this conversation here on Revive. You know what time it is.